Now moving to House Bill 1030, and we will open that for public hearing.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Patty Warkentin, and I'm here from the Department of Human Services in support of House Bill 1030. I went ahead and handed out some bullet points on the content of this bill, and I'll wait till those get handed out, and then I will proceed. House Bill 1030, by title, is an act to revise the rehabilitation services provided at public cost to disabled and visually impaired persons based on economic need to include post-secondary tuition and fees. The Department of Human Services is submitting this legislation on behalf of both of the public vocational rehabilitation agencies in the state, which I alluded to previously, which are the Division of Rehabilitation Services and the Division of Service to the Blind and Visually Impaired. The intent of this bill is to add tuition and fees for post-secondary education to the list of services for which financial need criteria are applied. The Federal Rehab Act, which is again was recently amended in 1998, allows for a financial means test to apply to certain services such as medical restoration, training books and materials, transportation, and tuition and fees. On the flip side of that, it also outlines in federal law that the public VR agencies are not allowed to apply a financial means test to the following list of services that I have handed out there for you today. And those services are prescribed to be the assessment, guidance, and counseling for consumers, referral services, job placement, job search, job retention, and follow-along services, supported employment services, transition services for students with disabilities, services to the family of an individual with a disability, interpreter services, rehabilitation teaching services, orientation and mobility services, and rehabilitation technology. Again, it is outlined and listed specifically in the Rehab Act and federal law that we are not allowed as public VR agencies to take any financial information or an economic needs test on any of these services. The ones that I listed previously, you may apply a financial means test to. Now, the two divisions, which I refer to as DRS and SBVI, which are the two public VR agencies, we made a policy change. The policy change went into effect back in October of 1999. What we did at that time, based on the allowability to apply a financial means test for tuition and fees for post-secondary education, we used that language from the Federal Rehab Act and proposed an in-state policy change. And we presented this to all of our constituents and consumers during our annual state plan public meetings, which we're also required to have under the Federal Rehab Act. And we presented this option of adding tuition and fees to the list of services which we apply a financial means test. We had discussions with consumers back in 1999 and again in 2000. The policy did go into effect starting October 1st of 1999, and it did have a grandfather clause because there were some concerns that you used to have a start and end date. If someone is already in a service, are they going to be affected by that October 1st, 1999 date? So we did add a grandfather clause which did stipulate that any consumers of the public VR who were eligible consumers for services who are on an approved plan, which included post-secondary education, did not have to be subject to financial mean regardless of that October 1st date. So we did have a grandfather clause in there. So it wasn't just a date where from that point going forward everyone would be affected. It would apply to the new consumers who were not on an approved plan from October 1st going forward. We've been operating under this policy now since 1999, It's been reflected in our annual state plan that we submit to the Rehabilitation Services Administration, and it has been subject to approval and has been approved as that service. Our vocational rehabilitation counselors are the ones that have been thoroughly trained on the process of taking financial criteria, looking at the financial means test, and they apply this test to all the services that we have listed in state law. Now, what the state law and the intent of this bill is to make it very clear that the policy and the practice has been approved by the federal government. We're doing that here in the state of South Dakota, but it wasn't listed in state law as it appropriately should have been. So as you see, for both divisions, under section 28.932, and that one is for the Division of Service to the Blind and Visually Impaired, I believe. It adds the tuition and fees as subsection number 6, and then further on in the bill it adds tuition and fees for post-secondary education for the sections that relate to the Division of Rehab Services. So it's consistent between both of the public VR agencies in South Dakota. There were some questions asked originally, so I do want to be upfront that the financial means test is based on 185% of the poverty level. There are exclusions, as I've listed there, such as daycare expenses, disability-related expenses, extenuating circumstance, and we always have the out clause that if a consumer is not happy with the determination on a financial need, it can always be appealed to what we call our state office or a division director, and then we have a full process of a due process in mediation also if a consumer is not satisfied with the outcome of financial need. It's not all or nothing currently with our financial needs test. It is based on what a consumer can contribute and what resources they have to help pay for their tuition and fees. So it's not like you get all or nothing. If you don't meet financial criteria but your resources show that you can pay $300 or $500, that's all that we're going to ask that you pay towards your tuition and fees for post-secondary education. Again, this is just adding that service to the already existing services that we apply to financial needs test to in state law for both public VR agencies in South Dakota.
Thank you, Patty. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1030? Any proponents to House Bill 1030? Seeing none, let's open it up to committee questions of proponents.
Madam
Representative
Chair.
Davis.
Patty, I have a couple of questions. My first question is, do you know in the application for the financial aid, how far does that extend out into the family? Say you're 22 years old, you're on SSI, but your family could afford to pay your post-secondary. Does that affect whether you get it or not?
What we use for that specific guideline is the federal Pell, what they use at the federal level, how they base their Pell information, and I believe it's age 24 in the federal guidelines. We follow those exact same federal guidelines and apply those to our state financial means test. So we haven't developed any new guidelines. We use what's already developed in the federal level for education and applied those to our state level.
So if a family has decided that they have invested all the money they're going to in this individual, then they are refused?
You mean if the parents and if it's a child and they decide they're not?
They're 22 years old.
Again, there won't be any refusal. There's eligibility for services, and if they're eligible, they will be provided services. And that would be one of the situations it should be referred to a state office if the consumer is not satisfied with an eligibility determination for financial need.
Okay, secondly, since you have implemented this,
mm-hmm.
how many people have lost their benefit?
And again, it's not a total loss as far as all or nothing. Yeah, this is the information that we have, and it's been since, like I said, for new consumers who have came on board since 1999 in October. This is just for the Division of Rehab Services, so this is just one of the divisions that's affected. We didn't have the information for the other division yet. DRS expended. Let's see. Okay, in federal fiscal year 1999, DRS expended over $2,061,198 on tuition and fees. That's what they paid in 1999. And then in a full federal year, fiscal year 2000, DRS expended $1,877,658, which is a net reduction or a savings to the division as far as putting forth dollars of $183,540. And there were about 100 fewer consumers also in that formula who went into post-secondary plans in the year 2000. So there was 100 less consumers out of that formula, and those are the overall dollars that were expended out of this division for tuition and fees.
Follow-up question, if I may.
Yes, Representative David.
Is there any correlation between the 100 less and the financial certification?
I feel there would be some correlation, but not knowing with 100 less consumers, it's hard to say whether that pool would have been a pool that would have attended post-secondary education. We can't determine that if those 100 consumers were not applying for services, but I would say they would have some impact on that net reduction of $183,000. Some impact.
Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Solem.
Madam Chair, thank you. Patty, by adding, and I'm in favor of this, by adding the tuition and fees for participating in education, do you have any idea how much this would cost the department? I assume there are federal funds involved, but how much this would cost the department?
It's actually a reduction in our federal spending. I mean, you know, the federal plus the state match, which is 78.7 federal and 21.3 general, is the savings of $183,000 with that cost split. It's a cost savings to the department.
Other questions of proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents to House Bill 1030? Any opponents to House Bill 1030? Seeing none, the chair closes the public hearing on House Bill 1030 for committee discussion and or action. Any discussion on House Bill 1030? Representative Van Nesselhoff. Excuse me. Representative Nesselhoff.
Been promoted. I move to pass.
It has been moved by Representative Nesselhoff that it be House Bill 1030 do pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Frost. Any remarks?
Madam Chair.
Representative Davis.
I'm having some problems with this. I know this is a cleanup bill, but my problem is people who are now losing benefits who would have had it before. And I assume I'm going to vote yes because it's a cleanup bill. But I think we need to be aware that this is not an improvement to our people. It is saying that they have to qualify financially to get the help that they would have gotten before just by being handicapped, if I understand this correctly, or having the need. So this is not a benefit to them. It is really cutting back because they have to qualify financially for the funding now. So this is a cleanup bill. It's already happening, and I guess there's nothing we can do to prevent it. Had it come up as a bill to begin with, I would have stood toe-to-toe and fought it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Davis. Any other comments on the motion, House Bill 1030? Again, just a clarification. Anyone that currently had been under this program, they were grandfathered in? Is
that
true?
Anybody that was currently in it, we grandfathered in through the rest of their educational plan.
Okay.
Okay. So it started fresh in 99. Yeah. And we've had that. There's a fair hearing process for people that are denied. And we have two hearings pending now, don't we, that we have not heard back on.
Okay, thank you, Secretary Jones. Any other discussion on the motion do pass of 1030? Seeing none, all those in favor of House Bill 1030 do pass motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Abdullah? Bradford?
Nay.
Davis?
No.
Frost?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Unhoff?
Aye.
McCoy?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Van Etten?
Aye.
Van Gerven?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Heinemann?
Aye.
11-2.
The vote is 11-2. House Bill 1030, having received a majority of the members elect, passes. Representative, do I have anyone that would like to carry this on the floor? Any Representative McCoy, would you consider carrying this on the floor? Thank you.